It's not a new phenomenon that rights holders grip onto their perceived perception and maintain fervent control of their image. It is new that so many people have clout to be able to do so. This week brings us news involving this for Intellivision and Rockstar, one of those being absurdly desperate and repeatedly inflicting damage upon themselves for what cannot possibly result in any meaningful benefit. This is the We Live in a Society intro. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you about these topics and the rest of the quiet holiday news. Starting right now in the show, River Gamer has a voice.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back and live once again here tonight on our show, episode number 983 for tonight, November the 26th of 2023. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here with you every week with my two co-hosts. Say hello first off to the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hello, hello. How are you doing? Did you have a good day of thankfulness, or at least food, eating?
Some of it was good, some of it was really crappy. But I've been working on my VTuber since then and fixed the ears a little bit and made a new top. And now I am drinking a coffee with sugar-free vanilla Torani, some dark chocolate borgata liqueur, and chocolate whipped cream on top.
Yum. Sounds good. I love me some sugar-free syrups. I have my own collection downstairs for our little coffee bar and the various coffees.
Rob,
I'm not drinking coffee tonight, though, yet.
But trust me, go to TJ Maxx and get Torani there.
Yes, there's Home Goods has like a comparable thing too. So yeah, there's you can yeah. find some.
Oh,
good
Home
deals.
Goods has really good ones.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Every so often though, Ross will be clearing them out for $2 a bottle.
Probably right after the holidays will be a good time to get that stuff too, for sure.
Oh, sometimes during the holidays.
Also say hello to the spirit of the holidays here on this program, Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Ho, ho, ho. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
I am watching this game that's playing behind you on screen tonight, because we do tape live every Sunday night at the Voice Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right after the Bobby Blackwell show. And when you do watch us live, you get to see some of the videos of us recording and some of the visuals. And so Loki has games playing behind him. And last week, through the entire recording, it took me until the very end to catch he just has cycling logos behind him the entire time. It never actually showed game footage. But tonight,
I didn't look at the video close enough.
I do see game footage, but it's a game I don't recognize. Is this a newer game? What is this?
It is somewhat newer. It's probably been out a few years now, but it is Enter the Gungeon, House of the Gun Dead. It's their arcade game.
Oh.
I want it. I want it.
Really? Arcade
it's only $5,500, but I want it. I mean, it's a modern you know, dual gun like game.
Maybe they'll find a way to port it to Steam or something, mouse and
keyboard. I mean, they could. It's right off PC. I mean, they absolutely could, but it would take the fun out of owning the arcade game.
Well, speaking of owning arcade games, I addressed this a little bit before we went live tonight, because Bobby Blackwolf is always kind enough to have me on his show to tease what's coming up on OLR. And in the studio here where I'm at, I've actually added, thanks to Black Friday sales, I don't usually get into the whole thing, but Alan and I have this weird tradition the last few years is that we go out shopping on Black Friday, but not the way everybody else does. Forget that whole like staying in line and fighting people though I guess I heard like Black Friday was kind of not a big deal this year. Not as many people go to the stores and stuff, but anyway,
it was not as busy.
But I digress. We kept our tradition and we go at night. So like Target, instead of closing at 9 p.m., we'll close at 10 p.m. or I think it was 11 instead of 10, whatever. But we'll go late. So we went at like 9 o'clock to Target, and one of the deals that they had was these little countercade arcade one-up machines, certain ones for $99. So I think my choice was this Ms. Pac-Man one. I believe they had an NBA Jam one for $129. And then they had, it was a Marvel superhero, I think, one for $99. Alan and I were kind of debating between those two, but ultimately I got the Ms. Pac-Man one just because it also has Super Pac-Man on it, which I understand not everybody loves Super Pac-Man. I just have this weird emotional, I think it's one of the first video games I remember playing with Super Pac-Man in an arcade on a Chuck E. Cheese, standing on a riser to reach the controls. So I was excited to have a little version of that. Plus, Ms. Pac-Man's pretty cool too. It's Ms. Pac-Man, Super Pac-Man. I think it's Galaxian, maybe in that. It's Galaxian or Galaga. It's one of the two. And then there's two like absolute throwaway games in there from Namco, Rompers is one of them. Jamie, would you know these games? These are obscure Namco classics at this point. Rompers, do you know that
Rompers?
One?
Never heard of that.
Rompers?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, I do know that one. It only came out in Japan. It was a System 1 game. Crap. Yeah, it's Japan only. Kind of like it kind of makes me think a little bit of Bomberman, a little bit. It was like you run around top down in like this sort of maze-like environment, but it's got little walls and things everywhere. It's an interesting one.
It's collecting keys, so it's a little bit like Super Pac-Man in that regard. So I think that's the weird, like very loose connection. But I the only thing that kind of surprised me was I'll get to that. But Rompers, I was like, this is way newer than the other games in the collection. Like it doesn't, like you said, it runs on completely different hardware. That's the weird one.
It came out in 89.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a weird one. The other one is King and Balloon. Is the other one that's in there. I don't know if you know that one.
King and Balloon?
Yeah, King and
Balloon. Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah. It's like
King and Balloon is like one of their like old.
Yeah. It actually has a lot in common with Galaga to me, but it's a very different sort of setup. But it's the same. Instead of the ship kidnapping, there's the little king walks along the bottom and the little balloons try to come kidnap him. And when the best part about the game are the dumb little sound samples. So when the balloon actually grabs him, he goes, help, 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 help. And so you have to shoot the balloon to get him down. And if he gets all the way off the screen, it goes, bye bye. So that's the funniest part of the game is the stupid little sound effects the king makes. Help, help. Bye bye. But otherwise it's not nearly what the other games in the collection are, but it was cute for $99. And the best part of all, it's a little baby machine. So it's maybe like the entire thing is the size of the screen on a stand-up cab. But I would say, the best thing about it was already assembled. So it clearly comes from a different assembly factory or something, or just, you know, to be on the shelf to maybe attract more buyers. It's already built and put together. So all you have to do is plug it in and tear off the screen protector. There is that too. So, but for $99, it's cute. I'm not going to keep it. You'll notice that as I'm sitting here, you kind of can't see it unless I intentionally turn around anyway. I'm probably not going to keep it there permanently. That was just for show tonight. I don't think it looks good next to the two larger machines. So I think it's going to go either on the opposite wall, or I have a closet that's kind of off screen over here. That's a walk-in closet that would actually be great for shelving and machines like that. The only problem is there's no outlet in the closet. It's a closet, so I'd have to run a cord or something, figure out another way to have it get power if I were to actually play it and have it not be for show. So something I gotta stew on and think about. We'll see. I might run
We have our little ghosts and goblins.
Oh yeah.
Actually smaller than that.
I wish the listeners could see your house though, the way you have it set up, because you really do have pinball machines everywhere. It's pretty rad.
Well, that's just the garage. Well, I mean, we do have we moved Ghostbusters and AC/DC into Dan's office, and then we still have like my three in the dining room, which is World Cup Soccer, Black Knight 2000, and Theater of Magic.
Well, yeah, for you, you're just like, oh, it's just over there. But like, no, literally, when you walk into Jamie's house, she's got pinball machines in the garage, pinball machines in the side room or Dan's office or whatever, and then pinball machines in the dining area. And it's like, there's pinball machines everywhere. But it's awesome. Like, you know, if you like pinball, you're going to be like, holy shit, there's pinball everywhere.
Yeah, and don't have room for anything else.
That's what's starting to happen in my office and these cabinets is, we're talking about maybe if we end up getting too many of these, we'll have to move them downstairs. But I don't know how crazy I want to get with these, because they do take up a lot of space. Like, you know, they're really meant for, I think, larger homes than what we have in California. Like, let's be real. On Bobby's show, we were talking about like basements and how the Ms. Pac-Man thing that I bought is a perfect bar top arcade. That's like where it's going to shine best. Sitting in a bar stool at the bar you built in your basement, you know, at playing a little game while you're having a drink. That's where this thing is going to be perfect. But in California, we don't really have basements. So, I guess it depends what part of the state you live in, but most we don't have basements. And it takes up a lot of room. So I would, like, if this was my parents' old house, my parents used to have an outdoor patio, and this would be perfect for a setup like that. So, like, someday when Alan and I move and have a bigger place, it'll probably make a lot more sense, and I won't just have them behind me. But for now, while I'm continuing all this streaming and stuff, they make for good ambience. I like watching the little burgers drop behind me on Burger Time in the background, and of course Tron. Even though the joystick kind of blocks some of the view of the MCP cone and stuff, I think it makes a nice little visual for that. So, anyway, it was of course a holiday week here in the States. I know not everywhere has Thanksgiving, because like Canada's Thanksgiving was last month, and you know, other countries don't. But here in the States, we had Thanksgiving, and it's a pretty big deal because a lot of offices pretty much closed just about for the entire week. I mean, yes, people work in not every industry, right? You know, there's always going to be industries that are working, especially retail is infamous for Black Friday. But for the most part, offices, which is where our video games are made, slow down for a good chunk of the week, especially Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So the news is a little lighter this week, but we do have a few things to get into tonight. So it's probably going to be a little shorter of a show, but I said that last week and it was about the same length. So it just depends on how much we get into some of these topics tonight. So let's start with this tonight, because this is a little more of what people are talking about on social media. And it's some comments that were made by the publisher of Spirit Tea. I don't know how you would say that, but Spirit Tea is a rural sim. So it's, I guess in some ways you could say it's right in the Stardew Valley train, or if you will, Animal Crossing, you know, the sim train. There's a big market for sims, but it's more inspired by Studio Ghibli films, specifically Spirited Away. You know, this has done very well for itself. It's already gotten 150,000 players and reached $1 million in revenue during its first month. So this is very good. The news there are good. Development costs have been made back three times over, and there are plans to expand the game. However, the founder of the publisher of the game, No More Robots, Mike Rose, went on to a thread on Twitter to talk about the launch of the game. And most of the posts were talked about the reception and the sales, but there was a particular section of the posts that got a little bit of pushback, because it was talking about coverage from influencers and YouTube. And in the tweets, he writes, "A hugely noticeable thing that happened during this launch was that we got absolutely zero YouTube coverage at all. Go search Spirit Tea on YouTube and you'll see there's just a couple of big videos. Nearly every YouTuber who got back to us wanted money to make a video." Now, you'll note that actually on YouTube, there were a handful of videos that did have several thousand views each on them. So it wasn't quite accurate to say zero YouTube coverage at all. And I think it's more these next few tweets that come into play with the why he made the comment the way he did. Now, look, I get it. That's just how
basically
this...
Basically have hyperbole already.
Yeah, right. Sorry. Now, look, I get it. That's just how this works now. YouTubers want you to pay them to cover your games. All right, sure. But I just don't want to do that. It feels weird and icky and disingenuous, and I just can't do it. So I guess our games won't get covered on YouTube anymore. Of course, the fact that we still managed a 1 million launch without any influencer support makes me think, what could we have achieved if I just paid some... Or excuse me, let me get this right. Quote, what could we have achieved if I did pay some people? So maybe I'll be forced to it in the future. But God, I just really don't want to. It's so F Qbert speak, to hide the word fucking. It's so fucking enough. So that was it. And of course, As you may suspect, some people decided to clap back, as they do on social media that's easily accessible, like Twitter, saying that, hey, work goes into creating videos for these games. Content creators deserve to be paid for their time, and so on and so on. And I want to say, in a follow-up tweet, even since I saw this article, I want to say I saw something about, yeah, there's a screenshot. Actually, let me show this. I'm going to go to here live so you all can see. Those that are watching can actually see that there's even a screenshot within the tweets that were posted that show like 41K views, 10K views. I would kill for these numbers, just for the record, okay? I would kill for viewer numbers like this, just saying. But
how nice that your video, that your brand new game got 41,000 views on a video.
Absolutely.
I'd like to now
YouTube
show exhibit A of my game getting no views on YouTube.
Yeah.
There you go.
There is that.
I'm sorry. Influencers playing games on YouTube is considered advertising. As advertising goes for a game, you can do one of two things. You can either, have it grassroots where you do the marketing yourself for that, or you pay someone to advertise for you. That is just how it works. I'm sorry you don't like that. I'm sorry you thought your game was so good that all of the big YouTubers out there would go, oh, look at this one game. I need to go play this right now. Well, guess what? That ain't going to happen, because there are thousands of games out there that people are interested in. And if they don't think it's going to be the next big thing and you haven't, whipped them up into a frenzy about it, then they're not going to do it organically. And you have to have sponsored, coverage of your game. And lots of games do that. Even larger games, like, for example, City Skylines 2 did a massive campaign with influencers to help promote their game. It is not necessarily like a dirty thing to do it, but like, I feel that you feel like you're above all of that. Like, yeah, I would have loved to see people play my game. It's, relatively cheap. You can play a free version of it and stuff like that. But I also know that it is such a niche title that it is not something that anybody's just going to pick up and play unless, like, haha, that's weird, that type of thing. So, like, I just don't. It's a lot of entitlement coming through on those posts there. And that's fine. You can share your opinion that I feel it's icky and I don't want to do that. Okay, cool. Then you can't complain, though, when people aren't playing your game online because you didn't pay for that coverage.
But you get what you get. That's the irony. Well, they are playing it without that. So,
But he's just upset that his game's like not number one on Twitch or something stupid like that. Yeah. So,
Let me get to the apology, because it is important to, get all ends of this. So there was an apology that was posted, and this is actually the last tweet he's made. He hasn't tweeted since then. He put, hey, everyone, I've really fucked up here. No Qbert speak that time. And I'm massively sorry. I've been reading your comments and replies, and it's clear that I've completely missed the mark. I absolutely value the work that YouTubers and content creators do, and my words didn't reflect that at all. I'm going to be reading loads more on all this and get better educated so I can be less of a dickhead in the future. So at least he kind of says, okay, I was a dick. There was a way I could have better worded that, which to me, yes, that's the issue here, is that there's a way. This is one of those things where I actually don't totally have a problem with what he said. I have a problem with how he said it. And right. Jamie, you even called the minute it happened, you said, well, he's already used hyperbole right there. He's contradicting himself, as he goes right there with the screenshots and so forth. And I think it felt like he was really trying to...
Calling himself a dick isn't hyperbole.
With some of those things he was saying there, he was, actually contradicting himself, with the screenshot or whatever and so forth. I understand if he feels a certain kind of way about paying YouTubers to create the content. I understand why he feels like he shouldn't have to do that. And maybe I'm going to put my foot in my mouth, but I kind of agree with the notion that if you don't want to pay YouTubers to cover the thing, then don't. But understand they may not cover the thing and it may not, hit the thing of their channel. I kind of disagree with the pushback from the YouTube community that, oh, content creators need to get paid. Yes, you do need to get paid. Not that part. But where are you getting paid from? The advertisements, the people viewing, your community, the merchandise, everything that goes into that. Because I make it – when I'm looking at this, I look at it akin to – a television show, like a more traditional type of talk show. Like, we'll say the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. I don't care how you feel about him. Just hear me out for my example. The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. His guests don't pay to come on that program, right? They're not paying him,
right.
But they're getting
paid.
They
the
are
guests.
Or yeah, and he doesn't pay the guests. They don't pay them, but they get promo. They get to promote the movie, show yeah. a clip, gets their name out there. That's why it was such a big deal. And actually, I think you're seeing some of the ramifications of this because now they're saying, the Marvel movie did not make back the money it was supposed to make back. Well, yeah, because nobody could be out there promoting it because of the strike. The Disney movie is not making the money.
I don't think any promotion would have helped that movie.
Well, but the Disney movie isn't. And again, nobody could promote it because of the strike. And a lot of movies out right now are not doing too hot because of the strike. They weren't being promoted, which I understand why. The strike obviously was a necessary thing, but I'm just saying it's part of that. When you cut that part out of the equation, it did show potentially, I mean, I guess we'll never really know, in some of the box office numbers and so forth.
Well, yeah. And if it's something that's like, it has to do with cost even, you could do the legwork and go find people out there that play those similar genre of games and say, hey, I noticed that your channel plays, that you play a lot of these types of games on your channel. Here's a key to my game.
That's it. That's
you know,
it.
If, yeah. if it's something that you, I feel this is something that you might be interested in playing and checking out, and I'd love to hear your feedback on it. And so that would be a way I would approach it, because like, sure, that's not going to, you know, I'm not going to be able to do that to Markiplier or something like that and expect gameplay to happen. You know, that's how you advertise it out there, is smaller grassroots type of marketing. However, if you are expecting like a Markiplier or equivalent size YouTubers to be playing this game just because their game exists, that's not gonna happen. It's yeah. just not gonna happen.
Yeah, and
unless you have a real gem out there, like, it's just not gonna happen.
And I'm gonna get to the chat comments because I know y'all have something to say here over at twitch.tv/vognetwork. I will get to you in just a minute, but I just did really want to quickly say, you know, the three of us have been creating content a very long time, obviously, and like, I'm not delusional. I know we don't have the audience that many other places do. We're a long-running but small show, and we love our little audience that we have here and our little family and all that. And I'm trying to think, even at the height of podcast mania, you know, when we were one of the only gaming podcasts in iTunes for about a year before all the corporations caught on and saturated the market, when that was going on, I would say at most we would maybe get the occasional free game in the mail. I can think of like promo copies of games we would get in the mail, or, you know, other promo things. I'm trying to think. I think the most I ever saw a peer got offered is, because this can absolutely kind of control and be used to influence too, was I saw a peer I don't want to make it sound like the peer did any, because they absolutely did nothing wrong in this equation or anything. But it's they got travel to go to this company's place and play the new game and take a lot of parting gifts and prizes away with the game, which, again, that's how, you know, you get people's attention, because they literally, by flying somebody out to a particular location, you had essentially a captive audience in that location for a while. Again, and even though I say like, oh, it was a peer and that whole thing at that time, if that kind of thing still goes on, FYI, still goes on for newer games. It's just we're not invited to them anymore because, you know, nobody cares about podcasts and all that stuff, or at least podcasts this small. Okay, so that's my point, is that those are other ways that influencing happens, right? But that's about the most that I've seen. Getting paid outright to discuss something on the show, I'm trying to think if we've ever even been offered that. I think just in a sly way. That's about it. So, and usually we're pretty good about seeing.
Usually we've had to be the one to reach out to other people.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, I agree with Loki's approach there. If you do a little bit of research and here are the companies that seem to, or here are the places that seem to kind of like your game. Here's, you know, a key or whatever. I think that's the way to do it. You give away free copies of the game in order to get people talking. Okay, let me go to chat over twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Okay, Bobby Blackwolf is in chat. And Bobby is saying, I can say that Bobby was the one that actually flew up to Seattle for the Halo 3 launch, because he's told this story on his show before. I actually wasn't only thinking of Bobby, because I thought some other peers of ours in podcasting were also invited to that. So that's why I kept it a little vague, as I was not wanting to make it about any one particular person, but just an example of this is something else. This is about the most I've ever kind of come in contact with as an influencer. So anyway, Bobby says, okay, so my take. In the time when I was reviewing games, the payment I got a free game. Even that was considered too much bribery for some people, but I digress. However, that was for a review and you wouldn't want to pay off a critic. But today, most influencers aren't direct reviewers, so you need to start looking at it as paying for airtime instead of getting a review. Today, influencers are playing the game and letting the audience decide their own review. So in that sense, it is more like buying airtime on a popular TV channel. You aren't buying a review. The publisher still believes the only coverage is a review with a score, and the landscape has changed. I will say, to that end, I do it. There's much more than just reviews. And I have seen on Twitch, and Jamie, you've probably gotten this too. I don't know to what extent on the YouTube front, Matt, because you're very singular game focused, but you probably get emails for campaigns that are like, play this game. I get emails all the time for a very well-known science fiction long-running series that I am a fan of, that I get emails saying, you should play this game that came out a few years ago that's available, that they're always kind of trying to push promotions for and all this type of thing. And I assume you probably have gotten similar sorts of emails, Dark Sakura. There's also websites that... go ahead.
I was going to say, most of the time I get it through Stream Elements, I'll be honest. You know,
it's,
hey, we want these sponsored things because we also get a thing out of it. Yay, good for us.
Yeah, and to be clear, I think I'm getting targeted through one of those things too, because I'm on that website and then another one that was called Rainmaker that I signed up for because I was attempting to get a key for a very popular game that I knew I was going to buy day one anyway, but I thought, what the hell, I'm going to stream this game. Let's see if I can get a key out. I did not get a key for it, by the way, so that's why I never...
No.
But I tried. So I signed up on that site.
I do get beta offers though from, I'm not going to say what they were for, but I've gotten some from Behavior. I was in the beta for Meet Your Maker. I've gotten a couple from Capcom. You know, the thing is that I'm on a Mac, you know, although Capcom is getting more Mac support, but you know, I've also had to put myself out there.
Yeah.
So it's a combination of two things. It's not just your innate popularity, but you also have to kind of market yourself to be included with some of that.
But it is an interesting point with all that, kind of like what Bobby said at the end there about it's not really the landscape's changed. It's not about reviews anymore. It's about people playing the games, which I find I actually is in looking at my decisions on my own purchasing, I think is very important with that as well, is that, yeah, I watch a lot, like I watch people I trust on Twitch or even YouTube playing a game, and because I know it's not filtered. They're playing and I see an unfiltered sort of gameplay and impressions, and I make my decision from there because I kind of, I don't really care about reviews. Like if they might be fun as a barometer, but that's about it. Otherwise I could give a hoot what such and such person said about a game because we're not always going to agree. You know, I love Diablo 4. Not everybody does. I understand my tastes are different than other people, so there's never going to be reviews that completely line up. So I sort of feel like, you know, watching that raw gameplay and somebody, you know, I appreciate watching playing it is going to do more for me than anything else. So
that's kind of where I am with that. Like, I like to, like, I'll catch a few like clips and things when I'm on YouTube. And then if something, you know, if I watch a clip and it strikes me as interesting, then I'll go and look, you know, more for it.
Yeah. Questbuster with a comment in our chat says, with as much decision that comes as YouTube and Twitch influencers for what they do from certain quarters, it's still big, big business with each one acting like a self-contained cable network. The hugely successful ones with a lot of eyeballs dictate their own schedules, and squeezing into those can come with a cost, as Black Wolf pointed out earlier, buying a moment of their valuable airtime. You know what, though, to the guy's point from Spirit T, you know, I understand if he feels ick about paying for airtime, that's a fine opinion to have. But sometimes you don't want to say the quiet part out loud, especially as loudly as he said. I think there was a better way to phrase that with like, hey, we want to thank you for this amazing, incredible support that we've had behind this game. We were able to accomplish all of this. And I think even if we went so far as to say, and we did not have to pay for coverage from certain outlets, I think that would have been a fine thing to say, is that we did not have to do like pay for coverage. Thank you to the community who has helped carry this game. And I think you could have carried the message in a much more positive way. And, you know, I get that not everything always has to be sugar-coated, but I think sometimes when it's your brand that you're representing, you kind of do a little bit, because if you show that ugly side and then start to unfortunately very much show that you're speaking in hyperbole and all this, like, I think it devalues your game at the end of the day. Although this game seems to be doing just fine. And honestly, think about it. Here we are talking about it. I'm not sure this game would have been on my radar otherwise. And that goes back to the argument about, is bad press really that bad sometimes? I don't know.
His post just was like very Kvetch-fest, you know?
Yeah.
The first one.
Well,
like,
yeah.
All this is great, but I want everything. It's very Veruca Salt.
Well, it's just not what you would expect to see.
I want reviews
from a publisher.
I want them for free.
Well, I mean, you could say the same thing also in the content creator space. Like, you could say, hey, I put out a product that is a very high quality product. Why isn't the YouTube algorithm pushing my content? Mm. You know, like, you can make the same argument, and you can complain about it, how you don't want to advertise because that's dirty.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to the cookie incident with Pokimane and that whole thing I've been reading about.
Oh, that's
just... Well, if you think the cookies
just...
are expensive, just stop being poor. I'm paraphrasing the hysteria behind that. I'm not directly...
Okay, I mean, to understand that, yes, people that live lives that they are taking in a lot of money, whether it be in the content creation space, whether it be just, you know, influencers or whatever the Housewives of Beverly Hills did to get their money, who knows, married rich, I don't know. But like, it is with some understanding that yes, they are not in the loop as far as how the common folk live and stuff, and so there's a lot of those comments that come out from that. So that I understand. I don't really care
enough,
too much, but I'm also like not buying your cookies.
I didn't intend to go there. But interestingly enough, I think it's another case of speaking in hyperbole does you no favors. Because I think the hidden point in there was, you all spend $70 on video games, you know, these cookies are, you know, I sort of think that was maybe the message, like, you can prioritize what you want to buy and that whole thing. So, but again, it's how you say it, right? And honestly, it was like an offhanded comment to a chatter that, of course, in this, because everybody's attention span has been completely diluted by Twitter and the 140 characters, 280 characters, whatever it is. Now we only live in these second. And so that little clip is all people see. And now everybody's got an opinion of her based on one hyperbole did not land well clip.
And to be fair, like, apparently the cookies are like these like gluten free, like special, like health cookies, I guess, if you will, like that. Normally they are more expensive anyways. Mm-hmm. That said, though, still wouldn't buy them from her because, one, ew, healthy cookies, no. And two, you know, it's just overpriced stuff from influencers. And there's cookies literally all around me. I can get cookies delivered to me from wherever. I mean, so...
And two, it's not even just about her, because what, Mr. Beast had a cookie thing and he had a whole thing about, oh, just if you see my cookies on the shelves at Walmart, fix them up, you know, that whole thing as well.
Oh,
that was, yeah, remember that?
Yeah.
What is it about influencers and cookies? Do we need to know?
It's not. It's not about cookies and stuff. And he has a bunch of different food products which are in varying levels of good.
Some of them are pretty good.
Like his burgers suck, but that could be from the Ghost Kitchen thing. But
his peanut butter chocolate bars are pretty darn good. I'm just gonna say that.
His chocolate may be fine. I haven't tried it, nor do I care to. I don't know. It's about merchandising. It's about making money off platform, because YouTube as a platform for a monetary purpose is very unpredictable. So you have to kind of do that. And so that's a lot of people do that now with like merchandise. You know, they'll have their own clothing lines. They'll have their own food. You know, it's all sorts of stuff.
When you say merchandising, my head immediately, without fail, Darkseid. I know you do it too. Without fail, we go to Spaceballs. Merchandising, merchandising, merchandising.
I mean, it is true though. Like,
Spaceballs,
like,
the flamethrower.
Like, if, for example, like, you have
which is a thing that asshole at Twitter did, was put out a flamethrower. So, like, it's Mel Brooks IRL. Like, it's wild. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's just them having to make a living, because they have to. They have to survive to make a living. I mean, certainly some of them are more thriving than others, but, like, even smaller, like, YouTube content creators or Twitch content creators have to look at, like, Patreon, have to look at merchandising and that type of stuff to supplement the money that they're getting, because they, you don't know when, oh, hey, we decided as Twitch, we just are going to keep all of the money now.
Is Mr. Beast going to beat Netflix to the Squid Game IRL thing if he doesn't sell some fucking cookies? Like,
I mean, I hear that's not good either. The new one.
The wild thing is, I swear to God, the world's getting smaller, because, you know, I've played these, like, fakey Survivor games online and stuff, right? So I get connected to, like, fans of the show. So, like, I incidentally know through friends of friends, like, at least three people that are on that Squid Game thing. Like, not directly, but, like, just like, oh, a friend of mine who's super into this stuff too, like, has a friend who auditioned and got it, because there's so many fucking people on that show. There's like 456 people on the Squid Game show, which is like an hour long episode thing, right? And I'm just sitting here laughing as I'm like, if I tried to go on that Squid Game show, I would be relegated to someone who got shot tripping over my own 2 feet while trying to do the red light, green light thing, because I'm a dumb klutz. Like, I just, it would have been a gigantic waste of my time.
Tell you what, right now, I wouldn't be caught during the red light part squatting down, because I'm getting back up from that.
Do you know why that happened? Do you know why that happened? Because it's edited for TV, right? But right. The thing was, when they were playing that game, that game went on in the freezing cold, because it was like an air hangar in, it was shot overseas in not London, but somewhere in like the London metro area. It was shot overseas, and it took 7 hours for them to do it in the freezing cold. So when
why would it take them
down,
7 hours to film
because
that?
Every single time they do red light, they are reviewing the footage of every single contestant to see who moved after the fact. That's what. And so for her squatting down, she had to do that for 20 minutes. So she didn't think it through when she stopped. If it was a normal game of red light, green light, yes, you're going to be in that pose for 15 seconds. But her problem. But see now, and this is again, now this, I'm actually so glad you brought that up, because here is that great example of how now Twitter culture and the flash second gives you tells a totally different story than what actually happened, right? Reality TV is infamous for this, for one, because A, it took a 7-hour game of red light, green light, and compressed it down to 20 minutes or whatever the fuck, you know, it was on the show. I actually didn't watch the show. I have been following all of this through friends of friends and Discords I'm in and all this other stuff. Then it gets relegated to Twitters and video clips and clips of people going, why would she kneel down? LOL, that's so dumb. But it's like, when you know story.
I get it. They were like interviewing people and stuff like that. But you would think that they would do that after the fact. Like, oh, hey, what was your thought process here? Or something like that. Not just like, hey, let's do that all in the middle. It's like, it sounds very amateurish, which is surprising considering that, you know, someone non-Netflix pulled it off even better. I just think that's funny.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
And here's the other thing that too, that's also surprising about that, is like, why didn't they do like different games? Because like the whole, I haven't even watched it yet, but like I heard like what, second episode or whatever, it's all the same game. So the twist is like, oh, the shapes of the thing and don't pick the umbrella. But wouldn't you know that if you've already watched the show? So, like, none of this is surprising. Like, I don't know. It seems dumb.
So
I can't with people.
I know. But anyway, it's interesting. The discussion on that show has been everywhere this week. But I guess because it's a slow news week for a lot of areas. This was actually a really good week to release something like that, because people don't have anything better to talk about, I guess. So, but anyway. All right. Moving on, let's get into how was your gaming week and the types of video games that you have been playing this week. Maybe you've gotten into some stuff with the extra days off, or I don't know. Who knows? But let's go around and talk. How was your gaming week? So, Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. How was your gaming week?
I pretty much just played Dead by Daylight and Disney Dreamlight Valley. I actually put it to a vote last night if I was going to do Retro Night or just play Dreamlight Valley, and people were like, Dreamlight Valley. I'm like, okay. But I did pick up Pocky and Rocky Reloaded, the remake for the Switch, because it was on Amazon for $12. Haven't played it yet. We had people over for our post Thanksgiving whatever thing, and there was some Osman going on in the house and a few other games. So it was pretty game-alicious, you know, in that respect. And I played some Weird Al, you know, so it was cool.
Excellent.
Oh, and we did watch all of Scott Pilgrim, and we had to stop for a moment, rewind, and go, yes, that's Weird Al.
Yes, it was. Yeah, I caught his name in the credits. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. But it was so
I need
good.
To watch it.
It was so good.
It looks good.
Yeah, I can. I guess I'll
it was,
also.
It was really good.
I'll also bring up that I also finished it. So I had talked last week on the show that I'd started it with a friend, and we got together on Wednesday night to finish it and watch the last three episodes. And yeah, I enjoyed it. The last two episodes got a little, and again, I want to be careful how much I say for, you know, spoiler. The last two episodes started to get to a little bit of a weird place, but I did like, and how can I say this without spoiling? I did like sort of like an observation that Ramona made about herself at the end, because I think one of the complaints that people say about the movie was that Ramona was kind of an unlikable character in the movie, and I do think
she was great.
The TV show gave her a lot more depth, and I think you walk away from the TV show, you know, with a much I mean, it's a very different way the character's done, so it's a much different opinion, I think. So I really like that. So I do hope they get, I noticed, I was a little like when it was wrapping up, I was like, I don't know what they would do for a second season, but then I saw they definitely cracked the door open for a second season. So I'm curious if it'll get one. I hope it does. I really hope it does. It'd be cute.
The musical cameo.
Mm-hmm.
If you are an old school anime fan, if you grew up importing your fan subs or buying VHS in the late 80s to mid 90s, it's a treat.
Yeah. I'm looking.
And it's funny. I actually did have to explain it to a couple of people. But once I did, it was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And like, yeah.
Yeah. There were some very interesting musical references that they used in the program and everything. It was cool. Bobby in chat says,
and for the record, I still know the lyrics.
Bobby in chat says, it's Netflix. It won't get a second season. True. SJ100 Matt says, it doesn't sound like they're making a second season, but I hope they do one. Well, they definitely made a very obvious gateway to a second season if they wanted to do one. But we'll see. Yeah. I mean, it is Netflix, and it was a pretty impressive voice cast they got together. And I think it's not going to work unless they get the whole voice cast back together. So I hope, but we'll see.
I'm glad they got everybody.
Yeah, me too. And I think that's part of what makes it work. I don't think
everyone said they had a really fun time doing it. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it would be too far off to get everybody back.
Let's hope. All right. Let's go to you, Loki. How was your game week?
I mainly played Minecraft. And by mainly, I mean I only played Minecraft. I did watch a lot of fellow Channel 64 cast member people playing Half-Life 1 multiplayer. And so I was like essentially playing it because I watched it for like a few hours. But that looks like old school fun. I love the maps on that. And plus, they added more maps for this whole 25th anniversary update thing. It looked like a lot of fun. So I may check that out. I did purchase that as well. I made a few purchases because, you know, Steam sale. You know, got to get my Earth Defense Force and stuff on wish lists.
I bought the Scott Pilgrim Remastered for $5 because after watching the series, my friend was like, we should play through the Scott Pilgrim video game. I was like, eh, sure. Just to listen to the music.
Did you get it on?
Just to listen to the music again, I would. On Steam.
What did on Steam? Okay, because I've got it like on Switch, Steam, everything.
Yeah.
But there's a limited run. I think it was limited run had a album, vinyl album, like leftover from a convention thing for sale.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my gaming week was also mostly one game focused, and it yet again was Diablo 4. However, landmark achievement, I finished the Battle Pass this week. So I've been kind of making the most of the experience buff that they had in the game this week, the 35% boost to XP, to try to get my character about as far as I can. I'm up to level 89 now. If I play after the show tonight, that's if, I'll probably get up to level 90. But if it reverts back to normal XP, I'm not sure I want to go all the way to 100. I think it's time for me to make sure I tackle other games in my backlog because I have a lot. But I think if they do an event for the holidays, again, around, you know, the time between Christmas and New Year tends to be another kind of down period. And because this season of Diablo isn't set to end until mid-January, I wonder if they won't do an experience boost between Christmas and New Year's. So if they do, I'll go back and top off at level 100. But otherwise, I actually think I'm kind of done with the season. I had a good time, but I unlocked everything in the Battle Pass. And yeah, I think I'm good. I'm good at this point. Because I have to catch up on the rest of my backlog, which includes things like Super Mario RPG, which I installed on my Switch this week because I went and I took advantage of the Costco deal and bought another voucher. So I have Mario RPG ready to go. So I want to play that. I'm still really wanting to play Alan Wake Control, Alan Wake 2 in that order, and tackle that because that's been in my backlog forever, at least the first two games there. Have been, so there's that. I have been playing other little things. Like, for example, of course, I picked up the Ms. Pac-Man arcade cabinet. So, yes, I played Ms. Pac-Man and Super Pac-Man, my two faves that are in that. I also, you know, even though I don't talk about it every week on the show, I do continue to play location-based games, you know, for fitness. I'm almost level 82 in Pikmin Bloom, which is pretty far along. It's a lot of walking and a lot of flower planting. And I think successfully... I've converted Bobby Blackwolf into a Pikmin Bloom fan because he joins the Pikmin challenges and helps me complete them without fail. So, and I don't know if Voby Kurt is still out there listening, but if he is, he's been starting to invite me to some mushrooms too. So that's exciting. It's kind of neat that we have the whole like remote raiding, for lack of a better term now. So that's kind of fun. I went out and I walked around quite a bit yesterday. I walked 5 miles yesterday. And during that I was playing Community Day for Pokemon. I was Bluetooth catching, so I wasn't in my phone the entire time, you know, trying to catch, but it was, I was able to catch like 7 shiny Mareeps as if I needed shiny Mareeps, but whatever, it's a thing to do. And I've still been enjoying Monster Hunter Now a little bit. It definitely, the difficulty definitely amps up at a certain point, but I'm up to level 51 in Monster Hunter Now. And I don't ever get into Monster Hunter games, but this one's fun and it's actually really good. Once you are able to team up with people, the multiplayer actually works better in this than like any other like GPS mobile game that I've played. It's pretty fun. Wow, Bobby in chat is saying Pikmin Bloom made me walk more often. We've been to a bunch of parks near us that we had never gone to before, even though we've lived here for 5 years. That was me when I first discovered Ingress, where all the portals were. I was like, I never knew there was a church back here, or I didn't know there was a thing over here. And that's, to be fair, for all the criticism that Niantic has gotten over the decisions they've made in Pokemon Go, and rightfully so, I'm not saying, but I will say those are the moments that they were trying to go for in what they were establishing with, you know, those earlier games and things like that. So I'll give them that. But it's, yeah, now it's, you know, Pikmin Bloom is incentivizing people to go to parks and plant flowers and you know, get mushrooms and all that stuff. And Monster Hunter is spawning monsters and things like that. So, yeah. And Bobby in chat points out what I also believe is the best part of Pikmin Bloom. Pikmin Bloom is great for me because it's more passive than Pogo or Ingress. You do all your playing after the walk. Yes, that's why I think that game is actually Niantic. I think it's Niantic's strongest title right now. I know people are going to say it's Pokemon Go that makes all the money. That doesn't mean it's my favorite. I like that Pikmin Bloom is, after, you're right, you do all your playing after the fact. You check in, you set it, then you turn it on, you turn it off. That's it. Like you said on your watch, starting my walk, stopping my walk. It's that much. And it's pretty cool. It incentivizes it. So it's fun. All right. A couple other things I want to mention for Gaming Weeks and this part of the show. I want to call everybody's attention to our website, vognetwork.com, because we haven't had a written review in quite some time, but our pal Pod Culture from the appropriately named show Pod Culture that did about 540 episodes, I want to say, of their program before they, you know, called it a day. Pod Culture actually came to the website and wrote a review on the Atari 2600 Plus, which we talked about on this show, is that device that actually plays the old Atari cartridges. This was the announcement that kind of had us going, wow, Atari seems to be on kind of an interesting path again. Like, they were making some real questionable decisions for a little bit, but this is the kind of stuff that this and the Digital Eclipse purchase and all that, it's kind of like, oh, Atari's interesting. So Brad from Pod Culture actually picked one of these up, took a ton of pictures. It's all up on the website, so check that out, that review over at vognetwork.com. I also want to give a shout out one more time to our pals over at the Twitch channel, A Tale of D20s. That's all one word, A Tale of D20s, because I did the second half. We did a two-shot of the Masks is the Game by a company called Magpie Games. So they have done a Magpie game themed month this month in November, and they invited me to come play a game with them. And so I came to play Masks, which is about angsty teenage superhero stuff. It was a lot of fun. So we did the first episode last week, and we did the second and final episode because it wasn't, you know, we weren't going to make it a huge, like, months-long campaign. We did the second and final episode today, and I have to say kudos to Jazzy, our GM, DM. She did such a good job. It was just so good. And all the other players did, too. Don't get me wrong. Like, you know, definitely I felt like sometimes I was a little in over my head because I don't think of backstory and some of these other things as much as some of the more seasoned players do. But they were very accepting of me and my lack of knowledge. And there were some things I was able to do with it that were like, oh, okay, this is fun. So I had a really good time. And I enjoyed that it was something a little different as far as tabletop games go. It wasn't just D&D. Not that there's anything wrong with D&D, but I like these other, like, contemporary types of choices and things. So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. So check it out over at A Tale of D20s here on Twitch. I believe the archives are going up on YouTube. I think the first session just went up on YouTube. So I will dig that up and post that in the chat. Maybe over on our Discord, actually, for folks throughout the week over at vognetwork.com/discord. You can get all those links to cameo appearances and things like that. So thank you. Thank you so much to the folks at A Tale of D20s for having me on that, because it was a lot of fun. Okay, let's get into the news this week.
I don't even know what year it is anymore.
It is 2023, and sometimes, yeah, sometimes it still feels like 2020 February.
Just when I thought this, thought it was dead, it's just pulling its lifeless corpse out of the ground again. The Amico's back. Hurrah.
You know what? I just want to say, Amico has two eyes in it. Zombie for the Wii U also has two eyes in it. Zombico. Hear me out here. Zombico.
Amico only has one eye in it.
I thought Amico had two eyes in it.
No.
I totally misspelled it in the sidebar.
Amiibo?
Never mind. We're going to just forget this conversation ever happened. I'm just going to use my hero powers to erase everybody's mind.
Anyways, so apparently there was an update to the Amico fundraising page on Republic, which has been closed for 2 years now, I think, with little updates coming from the Intellivision team because they got nothing to show for themselves. But now they have Amico Home. Amico Home is a brand new app that you can get that is in beta right now. And it is a way to, for households that already have a family tablet, Amico Home is an affordable way to enjoy family gaming entertainment. We're delighted to invite you to join the family gaming revolution with Amico Home. So they have two games available on it right now, Astro Smash and Missile Command. Each of those are $15 each. And from my understanding with this, the way you have to play this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, so I believe one device, yes, so you cannot play this on, so if I have a phone, I cannot play this on my phone. I have to have my phone and another phone. So one phone acts as the console and streams to your TV. The other phone acts as the controller that I then have to connect to my first phone to play the games on, which is stupid. And
this
on
is
top of
scrapping the car and selling the parts, because very much what that is whatever that Amico front end was going to be, the BIOS system, whatever it is, it's like you're loading that onto an Android device. And for all the talk about, oh, it's not just an Android show, it's like kind of pokes a hole in that argument, doesn't it? So
it literally is.
So it's like you have to load one tablet, one TV, I don't know, whatever's your device. You have to basically load the Amico BIOS, is essentially what it is, onto that. And then you have your controller on your phone and other device, whatever it is.
Assuming you have multiple phones, which you could.
Don't you all have phones?
Assuming you care about Android phones.
And then on top of that, like, well, at the very least, if you were one of the crazy folks that decided to purchase the physical copies of those games and you got your RFID chips or whatever, you will be able to use these to redeem those games in this app. It's not your console. The console is still available for pre-order, though, just so you know. And they are hopefully going to use some of this, the funds made from this, to help pay for the refunds people are requesting. They also want to ensure fans that shipping a console still remains part of their product strategy. I mean, yeah, I could strategize to become a billionaire, but doesn't mean that's going to happen either. So that doesn't really mean anything. And
what,
then, of course,
what funds made from this? This is going to bomb. It's set up to fail. And this isn't me shitting on Amico, because Amico was just something I foolishly, I guess, bought into in the beginning. You know, whatever you want to call it, I did think there was some good ideas with this in the beginning. And one of those good ideas was, by the way, that they weren't going to charge any more than $8 for a game.
Except they are now.
So number one, that just got thrown. So one of the big tent poles that made this whole thing attractive in the first place just went out the window. So that's one problem. The second problem is, if this was supposed to be a family, this was hyped as the family friendly, you know, this is going to be the party machine. You get people together. You can all play in the same room. This is what it is. But the problem is now it's this whole, because you have to have two devices to make it work. So it's got to, you know, the neck bone's got to connect to the hip bone and the leg bone and all this.
Well,
it's,
if you want family to play with you, you're going to need like three or more devices.
Too fucking complicated, which again is not what the, and I know, look, I get it, many of you are tech inclined out there going, this is not that complicated, Rob, and I'm sitting here going, yes it is,
for the average consumer,
which this device was supposed to be targeted at in the first place. Yes it is.
Well, it's, and
this
even
is not,
still
this is set up for, this is literally set up for failure.
And even still, like, okay, Astro Smash and Missile Command, like, that's not really a draw for me to play that on the Amico on a touch screen of a phone, by the way. Like, could you, I mean, Missile Command's in the Atari collection. And the games look cheap already. Like, just why even bother?
That Shark game was terrible.
Well, right. Well, Astro Smash and Missile Command, they have their product pages out on the Android storefront that you can check out. And, like, I mean, honestly, all their, well, it has, okay, so fun part is it has the Amico controller, like, it shows what their controller is and what the buttons do on that, which, okay, cool, except I don't have an Amico controller because I have my phone. It just looks cheap. It looks like a cheap web game that you could whip up in a few seconds. And honestly, you probably could. Like, it's just not, it's not worth $15, first off. And secondly, it's not worth it to put yourself through the hassle of, you know, connecting multiple devices up to play it. Like, if they were smart, what they would do is like, hey, let's put out some games. I wouldn't charge $15 for them, but like, hey, let's throw them into, you know, the Apple Arcade environment or the Play Store thing and just sell them as like actual games you can play on your, you know, Apple TV device or
to be fair-ish, that Astro Smash is out on Switch. But that's because the company that partnered with Amico to do that basically owns the rights to everything Astro Smash now. And I think that's them trying to recoup some of the money that they can see they're not going to get back.
Right.
So you can do that for what it's worth ish.
Excuse me.
So it just
doesn't make any sense. And that was also stupid on their part.
Bobby is pointing out
their licenses.
Bobby and Chad is pointing out, I think their idea is to sell the controller now if they can make them at any scale and that works with your phone. It won't work, but that's their idea. This actual device was supposed to come out in 2019? Yeah, the first, or was it 2020? It was 10-10-20.
2020
was the first, right? Because it had a whole little thing with the date. It was 10-10-20 was supposed to be when this device was supposed to first come out. Fine, COVID happens and it delayed. And then I guess I understand there was a bad business deal behind the scenes and all this stuff. Yeah, yada, 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 yada. Here we are 3 years later, and this thing is just a shell of like what it was, basically. So I just, yeah. Dijarama S in chat says, Tommy T took the money and ran. Simpsons Monorail, anyone? What money? What money?
The pre-order money.
This is the chance to get but that pre-order money long since paid the staff at, you know, Intellivision that was working.
Yeah, I think they just wasted the money as like with unnecessary office things and the salaries for like a really high salaries for people that were doing nothing.
And my understanding too is there was a bad business decision involving the chip mass production and all this stuff too that did not go over well. But the reality is there is no money. At this point, and that's why this is now coming out, to try to get some money. So,
and in the end, the people who spent the money on it just want something for their money or their money back, end of story, and not excuses.
And I happen to be one of those people that, and I, you know, this is an interesting lesson through the whole thing that's like, you know, well, you idiot, that's what you get for backing Kickstarters and that sort of thing. It got to a point too where I was like, you know, even as horrible as everybody is saying this thing is, like, I actually kind of want one now at this point, because it's like, this could be the next 3DO, like, you know, or this type of thing where it's like, this is going to be a collector's item in its badness type of way. But now it's like, I'm kind of just accepted the fact that, like, here we are all these years later, and I'm not going to ever have one of these. Like, it's just, and you live, you learn. I'll think harder next time. I'll spend my $100 on cheap little machines that I can show off in my studio.
I don't get, like, if you're, you wouldn't buy it just doesn't make any sense. What is it trying? I mean, at this point, like, it's just not trying to do anything. It's just trying to, like, they're just trying to make more money or make their money back or something like that off of a failed project. But I just don't understand, like, what they're trying to do at this point, because it's not, you've already thrown out the window that, oh, only this Amico controller can do this, because obviously it can't. And now, oh, only our console can do this, and it's not an Android device, except it is, literally. I don't know. Like, you can only get these games here. Nope. Okay, what's the point? Like, someone tell me.
Do you know how I picture this whole thing ending? You know how I picture this whole thing ending? And it's gonna
be in jail,
in blood and tears.
No, Atari buys them, and I think that's gonna be so funny that all these years later Atari buys Intellivision and to the rights to the, you know, because again, Atari's been building up like this classic game thing, and imagine if you could have Atari and Intellivision games on the same console, the ultimate 80s console bundle, basically. Like, it's all in one, it's everything, except I believe some of the rights issues are going to get very interesting, because I actually think they now can't put Astro Smash and some of those others on that, but for what it's worth, they'll, you know, put Real Sports and some of that other stuff on those, and I honestly think that's where this goes. I think, you know,
and then Coleco rises from the dead to claim them all.
So they're also launching something called Amico Club, a central location for managing your Amico gaming experience with all two games. Says, you'll also be able to create your own Amico Club account to access unique content, special offers, and features. You have nothing to offer me. Why would I do that? It'll offer... I love how this is. Amico Home will allow hundreds of millions of people around the globe to turn their mobile devices into... Yeah, potentially they could use their mobile device to do that. Potentially, but no, that doesn't mean... Just because, oh, I was just waiting for my mobile device to support Amico, and now that I can, the revolution's here, I guess.
I was going to say as well, Dark Tetsuya in chat says, well, since Atari will have digital clips under their wing, maybe the inevitable Intellivision collections will be good. Ironically, the game they had, 2014, the Intellivision flashback that they had,
wasn't that bad.
Was actually pretty good for those collections. That was the last thing. I forget the guy's name. He passed away, and that's when Tommy came in. After he passed, Dan was the former president of Intellivision, and that was like the last thing. Keith.
Well, if he could see them though.
I don't want to get nasty, but like it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, that was one of the last things I remember that he was promoting was that Intellivision flashback, and that was fine. That was a good collection. Keith Robinson, thank you, Bobby, was pushing. So ironically, the last time Intellivision was good was exactly one of those collections that Dark Tetsuya is talking about there. So I mean, what could digital clips do? And you know, really, it would be fascinating if someday digital clips does this. playable documentary of Intellivision start to finish.
Bill Adams, CEO of Intellivision, also says that the Intellivision plans to make Amico game API for Unity available to third parties and independent developers. Ooh, goody! I can learn how to develop for the Android device? Console? What possible API can you have for Amico games? Because it certainly doesn't look like they're doing anything special. Whatever.
Some type of interfacing with the controller, I guess, is all I can think of. All right. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some canceled projects from Rockstar. Because there was a former Rockstar developer who, actually technical director Obe Vermeij, I hope I said that right, spent 14 years at Rockstar North and then left in 2009. And actually went on to share some alleged details on some abandoned Rockstar games, including Agent, which you might remember was announced in 2009 at E3. Mm-hmm. So that was so again, this guy left in 2009, this guy wrote a post about it. I'm not sure exactly where he made the post. I'm trying to see if it was like the LinkedIn thing or what it was. Where he had originally shared it. It was a blog. It was a Blogspot, basically. So just literally, I didn't think people were still using that. How about that? That he posted all this to. So he was talking about how they were going to split Rockstar North into two teams. Half were going to work on GTA 4 at the time, and the other half were going to work on Agent. And it was codenamed Jimmy because it was a James Bond game and Jimmy is the Scottish version of James. That's where that came from, right? It was going to be set in the 70s. So, of course, now that the post has come down, all these details have been shared everywhere, right? Now we know these, you know, just it's not even that big of stuff. It's just a little bit more insight, like what Agent was actually going to be in this whole thing. It was actually then pulled. And why was it pulled? Because an email came in from Rockstar North. Apparently, and in a quote, Vermeij said, apparently some of the OGs there are upset by my blog. I genuinely didn't think anyone would mind me talking about 20-year-old games, but I was wrong. Something about ruining the Rockstar mystique or something. Anyway, this blog isn't important enough to me to piss off my former colleagues in Edinburgh, so I'm winding it down. I'll maybe just leave a few articles with anecdotes that don't affect anyone but me. I would love for Rockstar to open up about development of the trilogy themselves, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. Maybe I'll try again in a decade or two. And it does kind of lead, like, you know, again, how long ago were these games in development? Was anyone really getting hurt by finding out these details of a game that effectively was canceled, what, 13 years, maybe 12, 11 years ago at this point? Like, I think when we talk about preserving games, there's certain elements of the process of making games that also ought to be preserved as well. Like, if the game was canceled, it was canceled. Fine. I'm not saying that we have to, we want to play what was out there of Agent and that whole thing. I mean, I think that would actually be very fascinating. But why would these stories be suppressed for the Rockstar mystique? So is Rockstar the same company today that it was 13 years ago? Because I would argue that might actually be a problem if it is.
No, they're not. I mean, unless they were, you know, greedy, money hungry. Yeah, maybe. No, they weren't that bad back then.
Yeah,
they had some good expansion packs for the Grand Theft Auto 4 game. That was a solid title. All of the expansions, fantastic. And then GTA 5 happened, and yeah.
Well, what this whole thing tells me is that it's not about the mystique or whatever you want to call it with that. It's that Rockstar wants to control the narrative on this information. They had that taken away from them in this blog post, and that's what pissed them off. They want control of the narrative on how the stories on these games are being told and so forth. Hopefully this shows there is interest in that narrative being out there. And I wish more game companies would be vulnerable enough to peel back that layer a little bit and talk a little more about canceled games and why. This would make an excellent talk at Game Developers Conference. Maybe it's not for everybody. This isn't the type of thing they're going to get on stage at the Game Awards and announce, let's talk about how we fucked Agent. You know, maybe a Game Developers Conference type of talk about a postmortem on Agent and lessons we learned from that. Maybe, you know, and then some of that gets out there and the people that are interested in that can look it up and we get to preserve a little bit about game industry and how things are made behind the scenes. I think that would actually be very interesting. But, you know, I don't think we're ever going to get there. So,
I mean, it's fine. Up until now, I've completely forgot that Agent was a thing. So,
yeah. And maybe that's also Rockstar's problem. Rockstar also wants the narrative right now to be talking about what? GTA 6. Tiger Claw in chat says GTA 6 is a very highly anticipated game. A lot riding on that. It could be their biggest game ever. Yes, in fact, they finally announced last week what we're getting. The announcement of the announcement came out, right? The announcement of the announcement was there will be an announcement in December. So we know that we're going to be getting the trailer that officially unveils Grand Theft Auto 6 in December. And perhaps Rockstar, again, did not want the focus to be off of that. I think anybody sitting here and any reasonable person would say it wasn't. GTA 6 is
until
still
until you took it down, and now
yeah,
it is.
Now everybody notices. But I guess I digress. I guess maybe that's a reason why Rockstar didn't want this out there right now, is that they want all the articles to be about GTA 6. We'll put the trailer out, and I guarantee you all the articles will be about GTA 6. So the question is it going to be the game? Are they going to do it at the Game Awards, or is there a plan to do it the day after? Because if they did it the day after the Game Awards, you know why they'd do that, right? To take that narrative away from literally everybody else in the room. So if it's not at the Game Awards, it's going to be the day after the Game Awards. By the way, speaking of the Game Awards, it's going to be tricky, but we are going to do a live stream here at VOG Network. So if you're interested in watching the Game Awards, come join us here at Twitch TV VOG Network. We will be live streaming. Bobby, myself, anybody else that wants to join, I'm sure there's room for you. I'll be cutting it close as I have a work meeting that ends 15 minutes before the Game Awards go live, but I'll be here. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, right. I definitely want to watch it live if I can.
Yeah, there's going to be some good trailers this year and nothing else. Okay, I feel a coughing fit coming on, so I'm going to go to the next story. Dark Sakura.
Well, they told us that Charles Martinet would still be involved with Nintendo, and he is actually going to be a special guest at Nintendo Live 2024. It's going to be taking place on January 20th, 2024 through the 21st at the Tokyo Big Sight Exhibition Center. He will be at the Mario Dojo, which is basically where everybody goes through and plays Mario games. And for other events that are going to happen, there will be a Legend of Zelda orchestral concert and a Splatoon 3 concert. And there's going to be one of the games at the demo is going to be Princess Peach Showtime.
Awesome. It's nice to see that Charles Martinet is still working busy.
The game I'm
right?
looking forward to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That the Showtime game, that's probably the other game I'm going to use my voucher on. Because I was looking at what else you can use those vouchers on and since I bought another one. And the Princess Peach Showtime is one of them. So I'll probably get that with a voucher.
Cool.
Looking forward to it. All right. Moving on.
Look forward to it.
All right. Sony is probably pretty unhappy that they were unable to squash a almost $8 billion lawsuit over the PlayStation store prices. This is basically saying that, you know, Sony gets away with charging a 30% commission on all PlayStation sales rather than charging a smaller amount and passing the savings on to the consumers. That would never happen, passing the savings on to the consumers, because you may remember, like, even in, like, the physical retail space, there's still margins in there to the platform holders and to the companies that make the games. The 30% margin that they charge on the storefront is so that, you know, the PlayStation Network is somewhat subsidized by those sales as well. But, you know, there's still folks that are bringing arguments against them, and so now the lawsuit is going to go forward in the UK and may result, I mean, if it's successful, up to, they said, $8 billion, but yeah, good luck with that. I mean,
and the best you're going to get out of it is a free copy of Horizon Zero Dawn.
Hey, if you think that 30% of the money made is a lot, wait till you see what you get from the courts, because it's going to be even less. Yeah, I think it's I get it, walled garden and all that stuff and anti-consumer stuff. But once again, I don't think there's anyone really been successful with making that argument on a console. You know, phones are a little bit different in the sense that you can sideload stuff and there are multiple marketplaces sometimes. But on a console, they don't really have third-party shops available for you to get software. It'd be kind of weird if they did, but yeah, it's, I don't know. I think they have to show, like, actual, you know, disparity with that, like, oh, this game came out 10 years ago and it's full price here, but it's, you know, on sale here. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't see where they're going to win this, but good luck to them, I guess.
It's going to be very interesting to see what kind of ramifications a decision like this can have, though. It'll be very, very interesting. So, one to keep an eye on for sure. So, all right. You'll have to excuse me. I have a case of the hiccups coming on, which is the worst thing that can happen when you're live on the air. So, please bear with me here while I get through the story. And then after this, I'm going to run downstairs and get some water. So let me get through this real quick. Apparently there was a guest character that was considered in Mortal Kombat 1 that didn't end up making the cut. Ed Boon was mentioning on Twitter that Omni-Man was actually not the first character to be approached to go into the game. In a tweet, Ed Boon wrote, "Coincidentally, before we eventually went with Omni-Man, the first meeting I had with Robert Kirkman was to talk about the possibility of, and I hope I've never seen an episode of this show, so I hope I say the right name right, Michonne, being from The Walking Dead, Michonne, being a guest fighter in Mortal Kombat. Michonne, of course, from The Walking Dead. And so she would have been an interesting choice because everybody else has like supernatural powers. I'm not sure that really exists in The Walking Dead, at least from the survivors. So there's no details as to why Omni-Man was ultimately picked over Michonne, but probably the fact that Invincible Season 2 was coming out, maybe it didn't make as much sense. I don't know, but anything can happen in the future, but it's very interesting that was even on the table. And Dark Tessia points out, honestly, that would have been badass. Yeah, I don't know a lot about The Walking Dead, so it's hard for me to say, but it's interesting. So yeah. Neat. All right, I need to step away for a minute, so I'm going to move on to our next story, Dark Sakura.
So there is a Switch Online expansion pack that is adding some Nintendo 64 games. One of them, though, is going to be just, it's going to be in Japan. There is GoldenEye finally coming out in Japan, and also Jet Force Gemini. That's going to be available on November 30th, 2023. Also, it's going to bring about an 18-plus version of Switch Online Nintendo 64 app, because in Japan, GoldenEye is rated 0Z, or Z, which is restricted access in Japan. So that's going to be the first one published by Nintendo. Nothing yet for what North America and Europe will have, but hey, look forward to it. .. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go, Japan.
So unfortunately, some folks playing Assassin's Creed games over the holiday, had some wonderful advertisements thrown in their face as they're playing the game, and were none too happy about that. There was a Black Friday advertisement for Assassin's Creed Mirage that was basically popping up in the middle of some of the older games' titles. There was a video taken on Reddit, for example, that had it popping up in, I don't remember, I think this may have been Odyssey. And there's even older games that had that as well, apparently popping up. Now, of course, Ubisoft explained it away as it was a technical error that has now been fixed. So basically, instead of popping up when they were bringing up the map, it was supposed to only display the promotion for the Assassin's Creed Mirage as part of the franchise news in the main menu of other Assassin's Creed games. Unfortunately, they said a technical error caused the promotion to appear in one of our game's in-game menus. That's a weird error to add features to a game, like in the form of advertisements. Like, I don't think it's just easy to just, whoop, it just, like, displays an image here. You would think that that would just be part of, like, especially if we're talking, like, a news section of a game, you'd be adding content to that. I would see, I can't imagine that that would be easy to just accidentally put it in the wrong spot in multiple games across your history of games.
Bonds 006 in chat says it was a test to see how the player base would take it, probably.
Exactly. And to be honest,
says,
like,
sorry, quickly, Tartatuya says, so it's not enough to be $70, have a season pass and microtransactions. Now they want to put ads in there?
Exactly. And here's the thing too about that is it's popping up when opening the map in the game, and they said that also this technical error was in Assassin's Creed Odyssey 4 years ago as well, and also would appear when opening up the map. So it's not a new thing. It is a thing that they're trying to push by people to see if, oh, what kind of backlash are we going to get from it this time? You know? It's sickening is what it is.
By the way,
Madden does the same thing.
Your video made it this far in the show before it finally froze.
Again? Oh, gosh. I don't know why.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, you know, I'm reminded of something that happened this week, by the way, is that I've been talking a lot about the arcade 1-Up cabinets a lot this week. Tron got a firmware update this last week. And when I went to turn it on again later, it came up with a splash screen that said, Black Friday sales now live. And I was like, oh, give me a break.
Yeah, like, that's ridiculous too. Any of those things.
Like, you did a firmware update to deliver
ads. I think you mentioned that last week.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. You know,
no, it's still worth bringing up again. I think
it's definitely worth it.
Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm in tune enough with what's going on. Well, and ironically, okay, then the punchline would be, I ended up buying something for that Black Friday sale anyway, except it was Target's version of it. But still, it's one of those things where it's like, if you're tuned in enough, if you're a fan of Assassin's Creed or all this stuff, they have your email. They have the cookies on your computer that tells them that you're a fan. There's other ways to clue you in. You don't need to throw an ad.
Do you not have to sign up? All of these Assassin's Creed games have these stupid Ubisoft launcher that you have to use to get to them. Can you not put the advertisement there as part of the launcher that you force everybody to use anyways? Why does it have to pop up in the middle of a game? It doesn't. It doesn't have to do that. So it is bullshit that you're saying, oh, it's a technical error. Fuck you, Ubisoft. You're fucking not paying attention to all the sexual misconduct and stuff going on in your company. I'm sure that's a technical error, too. Like, fucking hell, man. Get with it.
At least they pulled their ads from Twitter this week, so they did one good thing.
Ooh, okay.
I know. A broken clock is right twice a day, et cetera, et cetera. All right. Let's talk about Killer Instinct. And that game still continues to go on. It's a revived version, of course, that originally came out in 2013. A new $30 anniversary edition is on its way out. It's going to have all of the fighters and all of the premium content that is available. Killer Instinct, of course, debuted as an Xbox One exclusive, but this version is going to be going free to play. Now, funny enough, I thought Killer Instinct was already free to play for a certain amount of time, but I think it was
they had seasons they had to pay for, right?
Yeah, they had seasons and stuff. But now in this one, you're going to have one free weekly rotating fighter and access to single player local and ranked modes. And you can get this on Series X or S, Xbox One, and PC. And now in the Anniversary Edition, you get all 29 fighters, all premium content, an XP booster, holiday accessories, and so forth. This is going to replace the Definitive Edition that's out on Xbox consoles and PC. Also interesting with this is that if you already had Killer Instinct on Steam, you get a free upgrade to the Anniversary Edition. So that's kind of nice. As part of that, you will no longer get to buy individual fighters. If you want the whole roster, you buy the Anniversary Edition, or if you have Game Pass, then you get everything because it's on Game Pass. It's a Microsoft game. So there is that. We don't know when exactly the Anniversary Edition is coming out or when the base game goes free to play, but apparently it's in final testing before the Switch goes live. So that's pretty cool, I guess, for those that maybe have missed the game to this point. Sorry, y'all. I still have the hiccups. It's not great. So I am going to go back to a time when I didn't have the hiccups and take a trip down memory lane in our next segment.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
Okay, and a little bit of the audio crept through there, sorry, but what is the classic game, Dark Sakura?
It is Renegade. Well, to be technical, I actually picked Neketsu Koha Kunio-kun, which is the first game in the Kunio-kun series. So we're starting there. I almost did Crash and the Boys just so I could say, is the drummer a boy too? Scott Pilgrim. Anyway, it translates to hot-blooded tough guy Kunio. It is a beat-em-up that was done by Technos Japan, distributed by Taito and Arcade, 1986. I'm going to the original. It revolves around a high school delinquent named Kunio, or Kunio-kun, who has to go against rival gangs that are targeting his classmate Hiroshi. In the Western version, Renegade, you're a street brawler who has to face against four different gangs to rescue your girlfriend from a mob boss. But one of the interesting things about this, and it's something not everyone knows about the Kunio series, is that the creator, Kushimoto Yoshihisa, said the game was based on his own high school years by getting into fights, and Kunio is based partly on him. Also drew inspiration from Enter the Dragon, with the just knockdown, drag out fights. And then Technos actually altered the graphics for the US to change things to match the Warriors from 1979, just a little bit more. So this one is referred to as the belt scroll, where you can go horizontally and vertically in a scrolling arena instead of just, you know, the left to right side scrolling. It has combo attacks, three button control scheme, and this was the basis for Kishimoto's next game, Double Dragon. Sound familiar? The game also has had a bunch of ports, but the big thing about it is that it was the first in the Kunio-kun series. And Kunio's done a lot of stuff, from you know, dodgeball to the Olympics and all kinds of stuff. So there's also sequels that came out more like spin-off series that was done by a British company, Ocean Software, for home computers, that was Target Renegade in 1988 and Renegade 3, the final chapter, in 89. And also the game is presented from an isometric perspective. So you sort of look like you're in three-quarter perspective. And you have just a big range of using your environment. In the NES version, he's referred to as Mr. K, and then Renegade in the manual for the US one. Like I said, there were significant changes. Of course, I linked the Kunio-kun one. So the stages in this game, there are a series of three screen wide areas. Like I said, the scrolling is that belt scrolling instead. And so you fight the underlings, and then the boss comes out and joins in on the fight. And then when he is defeated, any of the remaining underlings will retreat to the bottom of the stage, and the stage ends. And of course, every boss character has their own, you know, energy bar and whatnot. So a little bit more about Kishimoto. Before this, he worked at Data East and created some Laserdisc games. You might find some of these familiar as well. There was Cobra Command and Road Blaster. And then Technos Japan basically wanted him to come in and work on Laserdisc games. But instead, Kishimoto promoted his, you know, idea for a game that did not require Laserdiscs, and presented basically his Kunio game. And they were like, okay, cool, you work here now. So at any rate, the big thing with this game, and you might even notice it if you've even gone in and played Downtown Story, which we got as River City Ransom, that if you've played the originals of them, they are, well, incredibly Japanese. In this game, you have your Bosozoku members. You have a Skeban with her minions. You have a Yakuza type members, you start off at a train station and all kinds of stuff. And it didn't have a damsel in distress plot. It was just basically Kunio standing up for his buddy. I mean, that was it, which is cool. When the game ends, you know, the kids of Niketsu High School greet Kunio, and his friend Hiroshi comes up and gives him a handshake, and then you start a new cycle. It's a little bit more, you know, just kind of boring, I think, for the US version. But of course, this came out on Famicom and was such a big hit that this spawned more games. So the next one after that was Neketsu Koko Dodgeball Bu, which was Super Dodgeball. released in the arcade and Famicom. And then we had, you know, River City Ransom, aka Downtown Neketsu Monogatari. We had Neketsu Koko Dodgeball Boo Soccer Hen, which was Nintendo World Cup. We had Bikuri Neketsu Shin Kiroku, which was Crash and the Boys Street Challenge. But the majority of the Kunio games just came out in Japan. So as far as ports go, there was the Famicom version that was released in-house by Technos and released in 1987 by Taito in North America. There's like even a motorcycle chase in the game is pretty intense. There was the Sega Master System version, which I've got, that was developed by Natsume and released by Sega in 1993, based largely off the NES port rather than the original. This is for Renegade, but had enhanced graphics and several improvements, had new death cutscenes, a revamped ending. And I do believe this is also one that took advantage of the FM sound. For other home versions, there was the Amiga, Apple II, IBM PC, the Amstrad CPC, ZX Spectrum, Atari ST, and Commodore 64 in Europe. American computer ports were done by Software Creations and published by Taito, where the European one were by Ocean Software on their Imagine label. There was an Apple 2GS port that was also developed by Taito in 1988. But while there were screenshots of it shown, the game was never released. Commodore 64 version was programmed by Ocean Steven Wahid. But going back though to the game itself and its receptions, the arcade cabinet was the top grossing title on Game Machines charts in July 1986. And the fifth highest grossing arcade table arcade game during the later half of 1986. The ZX Spectrum version in the UK was the top selling computer game on all formats charts in September 1987 and topped the ZX Spectrum charts in September and October 97 and number three after that. Basically, the game was pretty well received. As far as the NES port for Renegade, it was released on the Wii's Virtual Console in North America in 2008 and re-released on 3DS Virtual Console and Wii U Virtual Console. And there's a Switch one out that came out in June 2018 by Hamster for their Arcade Archive series. It has both the US and also has the distinction of being the first time the original Neketsu Koha Kunio-kun was released in the US. But it was also considered to be the first fully developed beat-em-up game. It, you know, improvised on the side-scrolling genre. You know, it pretty much set the standard. You know, it was the game. And then, of course, like I said, Kishimoto later on came out with Double Dragon after that as a spiritual successor. And then, of course, you know how many more games we have like that. But there was also, I mean, there were Game Boy versions that, for example, that was one that was called the Renegades, but was retooled as Double Dragon 2 by Acclaim and published by Acclaim. That one was originally Neketsu Koha Kunio-kun Bangai Rantohen. And then, of course, Technos did a lot more of them. You know, there was a Super Dodgeball, River City Ransom, blah, blah, blah. And there is also in the manga Ichigo 100%, there is a character named Kunio, you know, named after the games. But there we go. And just also as an FYI, the Kunio-kun series now is... I'm trying to see who owns it now because it might still be because I thought that now it was owned by someone other than Taito, but I could be wrong. But at any rate, there you go. It's Kunio-kun.
All right. Yeah, the game that brought us really an entire series of fun stuff after that. So good pick.
for sure. Thank you.
Well, we don't.
But aren't they all?
Well, sometimes, admittedly, no. You pick a bad one. But no, that was it's.
But it's notable.
It's kind of it's one of those games where I'm kind of like, oh, I guess we haven't covered that one. You know, again, here we are. What? How many episodes?
It was Arc System segment? Works. That's right.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah.
I knew it was some big name, and my brain blanked on it.
The good news is, during that segment, I appear to have lost my hiccups. Hooray! Because that was very annoying. We do have just a couple other stories. We don't have a lot. I mean, honestly, the news is very light this week, but I think Loki just has a couple other little quick hits here in our abbreviated rapid fire news tonight.
Yeah. So part of Half-Life, the 25th anniversary edition update, they've actually gone in and fixed an animation error that was part of the Blast Pit chapter of the game, where a scientist gets dragged off by tentacles. It kind of looked janky before, kind of floated in the air. No, well, now it's fixed after 10 years or more. So that's cool. On the front of more things that can play Doom, apparently earrings now can play Doom. There was a... looks like it's like a little earring that is shaped like a Game Boy that you can apparently play games on for whatever reason. It's a gaming device called Tiny Circuits, and it has like a keychain, or I guess in this case you could use it as an earring. Apparently you can put Doom on it now. I can't imagine the controls very well, considering it has, you know, a D-pad and two buttons, but it wasn't about whether it was good, it was about whether you could do it.
That's
so
right.
Now I mean, you can do it.
If you could put Doom on a refrigerator,
Linux on a toaster syndrome,
a toaster, then why not a pair of earrings? Why not?
Yeah.
Just because we could doesn't mean we should have stopped and asked if we should, or whatever that quote was from Jurassic
We
Park.
Must because we can.
Anyway. Fifth Dream points out maybe you can use a Bluetooth controller. Who knows? Anything's possible.
Or a second phone.
fuck off. All right. Let's travel around the world and see if there's anything coming out this week. Loki, let's start with you. Is there anything coming out in the US this week?
Surprisingly, yes. There are things coming out this week. So we have Calico on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5. Last Train Home on PC. Rollerdrome on the Xbox Series. Roots of Pacha on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Gothic 2 Complete Classic on Nintendo Switch. Biomutant on Nintendo Switch. Black Clover M Rise of the Wizard on iOS and Android. We've got Stranger Things VR on Quest 2 and Quest 3. Tevi on PC and Nintendo Switch. Tintin Reporter, Cigars of the Pharaoh, now finally coming to PlayStation 4. Trip World DX on Nintendo Switch. Turok 3, Shadows of Oblivion on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And then we've got Batman Arkham Trilogy on Nintendo Switch. Dragon Quest Monsters The Dark Prince on Nintendo Switch. The Lost Legends of Redwall, The Scout Anthology on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. Steam World Build on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series. And last but not least, Murder Mystery Paradox 15 Years of Summer on PC.
That's busier over here than I thought it would be, that's for sure. Now Japan's pretty busy this week too, but that, you know, obviously the holidays work a little different, so they didn't really have Thanksgiving, so I'm not too surprised, I guess. But we do have in Japan on the Nintendo Switch this week, Cupid Parasite, Sweet and Spicy Darling, in a regular and limited edition coming out on the Nintendo Switch this week. We also have Otogi Katsugeke Mameda no Bakeru is coming out this week as well. Amakano second season in a regular and double pack with the original Amakano is out this week, as well as Gensei Suikoden Plus, not to be confused with a Suikoden game that we've been waiting for remasters this year, actually. But this is a completely different game and series that is coming to us from Day One Media. We also have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge. That's right, the anniversary edition gets a Japanese release this week, as does Despera Drops and Gravity Circuit, all out in Japan this week. Checking the PlayStation 5, those are the Switch games. Some crossover, we have Gravity Circuit is also out in Japan this week, as is RoboCop Rogue City is out in Japan this week on the PlayStation 5. And those are your Japanese releases. Let's go over to Dark Sakura and the UK.
So quite a number of things as well. On the 28th, we have UFO Robot Grandizer, The Feast of the Wolves for PlayStation. For the three consoles on the 30th, we have Asterix and Obelix Slap Them All 2. Switch, we have Wild Shade Unicorn Companions. PlayStation and Xbox, we have Gangs of Sherwood. For Switch on the 30th, Cricket 24, PlayStation Truck and Logistics Simulator. And also for PlayStation, 1010 Reporter, Cigars and the Pharaoh Limited Edition. And then on to the first, which for some reason it wasn't loading, so I had to switch browsers. We have Disney Lorcana Rise of the Floodborn. That's a card game. Never mind. Also on the first on PlayStation, Wizard with a Gun. I'd play that. For PlayStation and Switch, Bomb Rush Cyberpunk. For Switch, Batman Arkham Trilogy. Also Dragon Quest Monsters, The Dark Prince. For PlayStation and Xbox, My Time at Sandrock Collector's Edition. Okay, that's actually it for the first. I was moving on to the fifth, but I'm going to stop.
All right. Go. Well, that is it. That's it. We've ran through all of our stories. We've ran through the release dates as well. This is the part of the show where we open it up to you in our listener roundtable segment, and we'll take your comments over in our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/avognetwork. We also like to check in with our mailbag. Participate@orangelaundrader.com is the place to send us an email if you want to do that. Participate@orangelaundrader.com. I believe we do not have anything this week, though. We had one last week, but not tonight.
Believe right? correctly.
All right. Well, we also invite phone calls through our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. And if you want to call into the show, you can join our green room. And I actually see that somebody did join the green room, so I'm going to bring them on air right now and say, hi, you are on Orange Launch Radio. Who's this?
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Hi, Yay. Who's this?
This is AJ Twist.
Hey, AJ Twist. It's been a hot minute. How are you?
Doing well, doing good. Hope you guys had a good Merry Turkey Day.
It was good, except I had barbecue mm-hmm. instead of turkey. But that's...
I had Georgian food, which is essentially like barbecue, and it was awesome.
Yeah, so I don't know why it has to be turkey on Thanksgiving. I'll eat what I want.
I had lasagna.
Oh, that's great. Okay, Garfield. I'm just kidding.
That's funny. I'm a big Garfield fan too. That's
funny. Ooh, what do you think about Chris Pratt doing that voice too?
Oh, I know, right? You know what? I saw the trailer. I'm okay with it. Me sounds all right.
Yeah, that's how the Mario yeah. movie worked out too. We just all had to make.
I don't get why everyone's mad at Chris Pratt for doing voice acting. Like he's been good in all the stuff that he's done voice acting for. Like I don't know.
I think it's just the fact that it's Chris Pratt.
He's just taking all the good parts.
Else a turn,
well, then blame the directors or the.
All right.
I don't know.
I'm sure AJ Twist did not call in to talk about Chris Pratt tonight. So
no, but I don't mind it.
What's on your mind tonight?
Couple of things. First off, I want to kind of recap EVO 2023, which I did August.
Mm-hmm. How was that?
It was great. It was awesome. They had their big arcade set up. This is the one thing I want to talk about because I had the best time right here. I went to the free arcade on a Saturday, and I found Puzzle Bobble. Love Puzzle Bobble.
Yay!
And I wanted to play because I never get to really play other people. I like playing versus mode. So I found it. Some guy was sitting there. I was playing him. He was really good. And it turned out he actually owns an arcade himself. So he plays it often, which explains why he was so good and kicking my ass that day. But then when he left, three other guys came through. I don't know where they were from, but they're just all like, best friends, all hype. And they're like, all right, we're going to play just, one by one. And we just went in a circle playing each other. It was awesome. It was a great time playing them for a few hours. And then someone else came through, this one girl. And when she came over, I recognized her. I was like, you look familiar. I was like, wait, I think I follow you on Instagram, which I did. And so I got to meet this Instagram person I've been following on Instagram forever. So that was kind of cool. And she ended up being like the best bust a move puzzle bubble player like we ever seen. She was just kicking all our asses. And it was, I don't know, it was a great time. Eventually, I ended up beating her, though, which is awesome. And then someone else came over and started kicking everyone else's asses. And it turns out he also owned the machine. And he was friends with the girl. And that's why she was so good, because she goes to his house to play the machine. So I was like, oh, wow, I need to get my own arcade machine, I think.
Careful, but building your own arcade at home is an addicting hobby.
But just that moment at Evo, just playing Puzzle Bobble with a bunch of random people from who knows where, that was just like one of the greatest moments I've had at Evo by far.
No, that's so perfect. You know, that's the best part of conventions. It doesn't necessarily have to be that panel or that show or that, you know, piece of programming that really got you. But it's like when you just have that moment where you're just connecting with other nerds and like doing that thing you just like enjoy, especially when it's a niche thing, right? So a game like Puzzle Bobble, kind of a niche game, right? But when you like find your people to like really get some good matches going in that, it's like, oh damn, that was such a good experience, right? Some of my favorite Dragon Con memories are a very similar thing, to be honest. So
that's cool. At Evo, though, I didn't do too well entering tournaments that I've actually, you know, went there to enter. I entered for Street Fighter VI, for Tekken 7, and also Soul Calibur 6.
Oh, wow.
And I got my ass handed to me all throughout. Oh. Didn't win any matches. But I blame the reason why I didn't do so good, because I wasn't really practicing those games too much months before, because I was too busy building myself an arcade stick. And this is something that I've done for years now, and I have a 3D printer. My friend's been telling me for years to like 3D print an arcade stick, but when I first got it, I was like, I'm not there yet, let me play with it some more. And finally this year I was like, I think I'm ready, so I went ahead and built an arcade stick, and I used that. And this is the other highlight for me too, was that like people actually like, you know, turned around, was like, hey, can I see your arcade stick? And I was even interviewed by somebody who has a YouTube channel. So I popped up on their YouTube channel talking about my arcade stick. And then I took it to this one spot at Evo called the Arcade Stick Museum. And then the people like, that were there running it, I showed them my stick to see if they were just interested. I wanted to see if I was doing something cool or not. And they saw it and they all like kind of flipped out like, well, it's amazing. Asked me questions. Some guy was offering to buy it off me, stuff like that.
Wow.
And then this kind of leads into a story you guys had that came up, I think, about a week or two ago about how Xbox.
Yeah, I was just about to ask, does this Microsoft thing affect you? Okay. Yeah.
That I don't use Xbox anymore. I'm just PC now. When I play with friends, they all own PlayStations, so we're good there. But if I did own an Xbox, I would be so upset because I use a Brickboard to build my arcade sticks. And then also that whole thing with being like having some type of disability, I guess I kind of do now. I guess I'm developing like carpal tunnel or something like that. This is an issue I've kind of had for a while now. So the arcade stick that I built, actually, the reason why it was so unique is because it actually splits open. It cuts in half. So my joystick part and my buttons part kind of split apart to where they're like about a foot apart from each other, as opposed to like a traditional arcade setup where like your lever and your buttons are like just inches away from each other. So it's a
like a split keyboard,
pretty much. Yeah, exactly. It's on rails, so it can actually open up and close up, so it can go down to compact size like a normal arcade stick. And then when I'm playing it, I just pull it open like a drawer. It is on rails like a drawer, actually. It's drawer rails that I built it over. But that's what makes it unique. And I had to build that for myself because there wasn't anyone making arcade sticks like that. So that's one reason why I wanted to build my own arcade stick. Also because I just like building stuff. But eventually there was a reason for it. And then with Microsoft like disabling these Brickboards, I'm not sure if they went back on it yet or not. I haven't looked into
that
story.
That's what I was just about to see it. Did Microsoft reverse course on that? We never really got a follow up on that. I'm going to ask chat to do some investigative work for me.
There's not a way to spoof that, can you? Because I remember back in the day when I used to have a keyboard mouse device for the Xbox 360, I think. You had to have a controller plugged into it, and then it basically spoofed the ID for the controller to make it look like an authentic controller with that, but then pass through the functionality through. I mean, I guess you could just do that anyways, just wire it up to an actual controller. It's just a pain in the butt to have to solder to those boards traces. Yeah.
That's the classic way people would make sticks back in the day, was, you know, break open an actual, you know, first party device and just solder pieces and wires to it and then connect it to your own buttons. I mean, people still do that sometimes when
they're probably gonna have to go back to it now.
Yeah, exactly. But Brickboards made it easy because they were just compatible, just plug and play right there. You just, you know, wired up your own buttons to it. They're really cool. And there's different versions that exist. You know, some only work for Xboxes, some only works for PlayStation. The more expensive one can work for all of them. There's different type of boards you can get. So that makes it cool and unique right there. But they blocked it now. I guess the only other way they can maybe get around that is Brooke going, you know, through whatever hoops they have to go through to get it, you know, actually licensed and recognized by Microsoft. That would be the only legit way I can see. But other than that, yeah, they're kind of killing off their fighting game section. If Xbox has thought about it for a little bit, they're kind of blocking us from all that.
So I've been trying to quickly, like while you've been talking, try to figure out if we have had an update on this whole type of scenario. So apparently, and this is where we should have assumed this was all going to go, modders are already bypassing this particular thing with their own workaround. So even though back in October we saw the error message start to come up that was going to block that out, apparently from a post that went up on Twitter, this user, Robert Dale Smith is the name, actually was showing using an official controller as some sort of like bypass. I'm trying to see.
Yep,
what it looks
same.
Like.
Same. Told you. That's how they used to do it.
Yeah. Is that now they're hooking up a PlayStation controller to the official Xbox controller. A different Xbox controller with like a bypass on it. And there they go. They're actually using a PlayStation controller on their Xbox through this workaround that they're using. So that, of course, that even though it's modders, the old adage hacker's gonna hack still applies in this.
Yeah, well, it's just how they used to do it before. I mean, so if it worked like that before, assuming that they haven't made it more sophisticated, then, you know, it's the way they're gonna do it again. So yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, hackers will find a way. They don't ask if they should or shouldn't, or whatever that quote was we just said moments ago.
Yes, yes.
They do what they must because they can.
But that's cool. But yeah, hopefully, I know Xbox and Brooke can find something. So I don't know, at least they could do that because, you know, like people, because first off, they also have their disability controller thing, which I hear is hard to find too. So anyone that has some type of disability where they need something where they can't use an actual controller, like, you know, make their disability controller more available or just fix this so we can just do our own things with these. You know, like they're not hacking devices either. Actually, another thing, too, I wanted to bring up with those Brickboards is that as far as like tournament play goes, the Brickboards have firmware updates that you can do to kind of go along with whatever big tournament you're about to join. For example, one thing people play with is hitboxes. Hitboxes is where you don't have a lever. It's a leverless arcade stick, basically, where you don't have an actual joystick. You have like four buttons for your up, down, left, right, and all that. But they have it in a different format, though, where it's not like your traditional like keyboard up, down, left, right. You have your thumb would be your up and your left, down, and right would be your ring finger, middle finger, pointer finger, if you can understand how that looks like.
Yeah.
But that's a method that people use now that people like, and people with also, you know, arm conditions, you know, enjoy that play style. And one thing that really that people find out over time is that you can kind of cheat charge characters. Like, for example, Guile doing a sonic boom. Like, you can hold back easily and easily hit a forward button real quick and hold back really quick again. So you can get a lot of sonic booms out a lot quicker than you would, like, a traditional joystick. And so tournament players are like, wait, we should do something about this. And so they figured out something, they made a firmware update pretty much saying that if anyone holds both forward and back at the exact same moment, it no longer counts as a direction of any sort. It just counts as neutral. So that makes it a little more difficult to pull off those sonic booms or charge moves like that. Still doable, but like just a little more difficult, not so like lazy, I guess.
Yeah.
So, but like there's things that go into it that makes it still usable where it's not like cheating. And again, you know, if Microsoft maybe did some research and understood that, or maybe they should do that, maybe they will understand that. And if there's any type of weird mechanics that they don't want to happen, then, you know, let Brooke know and maybe they can add a patch to it. And then all those controllers will, you know, work as they like.
I'd be curious. You talked about your custom controller a lot and how the reception was. Do you have a picture of it somewhere? I mean, I know it's a podcast, but I'd still be curious to see a picture of it.
How do I do video? Is this video? Turn on camera. Can I do that?
Yeah, you can. You can share video. We have a shot that we can, if you're willing to share.
Yeah.
There you are. Hey, how's it going?
Out. This is my arcade stick.
Oh wow.
It's mostly 3D printed all the way around, except the acrylic on the front and on the bottom. That's all acrylic that I got sent in to get cut.
Huh.
And then the split open.
That looks wow. Okay.
That's super nice.
That is nice. Yeah, that is a sleek thing. That's really cool.
And
no wonder someone offered to buy it off you.
I know, I was going to say, I see why somebody offered to buy that off you for sure. Yeah, chat, yeah, look at chat too, because they're saying kind things about that too. Nice setup.
Yes. So yeah, that's the thing I built. I actually made a YouTube video because the video that I was on that was I was interviewed with, I think the channel called Reversal, if anyone wants to look that up. A lot of comments in there were asking about my arcade stick. So I was like, maybe I'll make a video to let people know like what I've done and kind of share my experience with it. So if anyone looks that up, it's AJ Twist on YouTube. And I have a couple of videos there of me talking about it, the build and, you know, going into it and stuff.
All right. Well, with that promo, I will go ahead and wrap it up here. Thanks so much for calling in. It's good to hear from you and experiences at Evo and showing that is an amazing custom controller. For the podcast listeners that can't see it, I would encourage you to definitely look at the YouTube that AJ just promoted there and check that out. Looks great.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks for calling in tonight. Have a good one. All right.
For sure. You too.
Take care. Yeah. Bye-bye. All right. That was awesome. All right.
That was really cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, we have no other calls waiting to come in. And I always say it's going to be a short show and then we run at least 2 hours anyway. So I think we're good to wrap things up here and close on out for the night. But before we do that, we want to thank you, as always, for listening to our program. Thank you so much for tuning into Orange Lounge Radio, especially on a week where, you know, a lot of people had the week off. If you enjoyed what you heard here on the show, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we, you know, we need more voices to put out on air. So tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes, Spotify, wherever it is you found this show goes an awful long way as well, and we appreciate it. This is a good question worth answering from SSU100 Matt in chat. Question: Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve fall on Sunday this year. Will there be shows those nights? I can almost for sure say not on New Year's Eve. Christmas Eve is a little more of a question mark for me. I need to figure
out. That's usually when Dan and I do our thing.
Okay, then it is very likely we are going to go 2 weeks with no show. However, you know, because we do have this network, we can do a show whenever we want. We'll probably explore doing a mid show at some point, because we did that one other year where the weekends were on a holiday, as we did a show on like December 28th or something, and we just put an off cycle thing on the podcast feed. So at least we had one show out during the 2 week outage. So we'll probably do something like that. We'll do a midweek show somewhere. So I'll talk to my co-host about when that is and all that good stuff, and we'll give you that update as soon as we know. But yeah, I was gonna say usually I'm pretty free Christmas Eve, but last year we actually went side of the family on Christmas Eve. So
I that's something to propose possible. I know that we're all kind of I don't anticipate being busy. But would we consider doing a UK time
an early zone show?
Early show, like, or something like that?
Because
I know,
yeah,
like our UK listeners don't get to listen live very often. That might be fun.
I'm open to that. Actually, yeah. Well, let me just double triple check that what we're gonna do with Alan's side of the family, just make sure I'm okay with that. And then yeah, I'm fine with an early show so our folks overseas have a chance to tune in. Yeah, absolutely. We haven't done one of those in a while. That's a great idea. So would that be Christmas Eve or New Year's
Sounds
Eve?
Fun.
I guess it could really be
either one. Yeah. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of news during this time anyways.
I almost feel like
it is dead.
Yeah.
So, it's already dead now. So
all right, we'll work out the details, but I like that idea. I think an early show will probably work well. So except now
sounds
I'm
planly.
My sister is supposed to be in town, so we'll see. Anyway, all right, with that, let's wrap it up. Dark Sakura, I know you're probably gonna go off to stream some Dead by Daylight. I'm very excited about Chucky, by the way. Is Chucky next week?
That's Tuesday.
Oh, yay. That's exciting. That'll kind of get me to play again. Actually, I'm not excited about Chucky. I'm excited about Tiffany.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be broke again. So yeah. There we go.
Here we go.
But I don't know. That means I'll have to work on my adept for them. So it'll be interesting. I've got everybody done right now.
That's great.
Even Nurse.
All right. So what are you going to do on tonight's stream?
Because I played her like a cheap bitch. But yeah, we're gonna dive into the Debbies and who knows what else. So.
All right. Well, we'll see you in a little bit. Have a good stream.
See ya.
All right. With that, I will go over to Loki. Your final thought tonight for us.
I have to do editing and I have to go back to work tomorrow.
Yeah. I don't think I have quite the negative feelings that Loki has, but I'm definitely like, oh, this break was nice. I should have taken another couple days off. But you know, work, the interesting thing about work is that it ends up being such a weird period between, like, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas, because, you know, it's a lot of like wrap up type of stuff, but also it's kind of like so many people go in and out on various holidays. It's just, it feels like some things get done, but other things definitely don't get done. So it's an interesting time of year. So, but I'm looking forward to going back and getting closer to the end of the year. Maybe some time I take towards the end of the year. What I'm really excited about is my cruise in February. That's the next trip I'm excited, looking forward to. So, all right. Well, that's it. I don't really have anything else to say besides that. We're going to wrap up and get on out of here for the night. Thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. We hope you all have a good week. Hope you, those of you in the States, had a great holiday. If you're overseas, hope you had fun doing whatever else it was you were doing this week. We'll be back in 7 days to continue the gaming news and whatever happens in the future. Pod Culture in chat says, I'm disappointed there weren't any really good Game Pass deals on Black Friday. Yeah, the PlayStation thing was a bust too, because for new subscribers, you can get a discount, but existing subscribers, fuck them. That's what I'm hearing from Sony. So I'm not happy about that. But anyway, we'll get into that in another episode. So thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful night. We'll see you next week. Bye.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for our live show, tune in to VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio nor VOG Network, but you know they were all still true.